Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Last week, we talked with a man who worked as a policeman when he suddenly lost his vision. And you can go back to that show and listen to some of his very interesting and entertaining stories that he had to tell. We'll continue that conversation this week.
We'll be speaking more with Marlon Parejo about his thoughts on being blind and why going blind, although initially made him very upset, really didn't mean that it was the end of the world for him. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Marlon Parejo.
There was a time that I prayed for my sight. And after a while, I realized that maybe, just maybe, what I'm destined to do involves me being blind. When I started looking at it at that perspective, that's what made me realize, listen, maybe, you know, I should be praying for sight. Maybe I should be praying to understand what my destiny should be. And every day, I get a little bit closer to what it might be. I will tell anyone, I have done a lot more in the 4 years of me being blind than in the 31 years I've been seeing. I'm being very honest. A lot more.
That's nice. Well, there was also a lot of hard work to get through the transition.
Of course.
And as you'll hear in the rest of the show, Marlon really used his blindness as a very positive influence in his life.
And also, having been blind for only 4 years at this point, he remembers well what life was like as a sighted person, what the attitudes of sighted people towards blind people were, and what the changes really are. The changes are still very clear in his memory, and he's made a conscious effort to make many of those positive changes.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
eSight, maker of digital eyewear designed to help improve vision for people with low vision and legal blindness. The technology can be used to read, see faces, and explore the world. More information is available at eSightEyewear.com. Let's start by briefly reintroducing Marlon from last week.
My name is Marlon Parejo. I live in Trinidad and Tobago. It's an island in the Caribbean, very close to Venezuela. It's two islands, one country. I've been blind for 4 years. I got blind at 31.
Was that due to a disease or an accident or what?
It was due to glaucoma. Glaucoma and ignorance.
And what was your job when you lost your sight?
Well, I was as a cop. I've been a cop for 14 years. 4 of those years I've been blind. But what I basically do is receive information from persons and translate it into reports. And I also do a bit of social intervention where I talk to like troubled kids. And I actually use my impairment as a motivational and inspirational tool.
So this is the same job that you had before you went blind, right?
Oh, no, not really. I also used to be a sketch artist. I used to draw persons from someone's description.
And if you want to hear more of Marlon's introduction, you'll have to go back to last week's episode number 1612.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Marlon's thoughts on blindness and why being blind, for him at least, doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. As we learned last week, Marlon has a very positive attitude and is making the most of being blind.
In last week's episode, you referred to yourself as being quite a chipper person. So I'm wondering, do you have any complaints at all about being blind?
My only pet peeve is when, if I'm walking with someone asks them stuff about me. That's my only pet peeve.
And they pretend you're not there.
Yeah, that's why I have a t-shirt I printed myself that says, please address all queries about the blind person to the blind person.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, you know, Pete's blind and I'm sighted, and that is one of my pet peeves. Also, we'll go to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress will ask me if he wants water. And I'm like, I don't know, Pete, you want water?
My wife does the same thing because she's sighted. She does the very same thing. You also form the Wives of Blind Husbands Club.
There you go.
Yeah.
She's the very same way. We went to a restaurant and she was like, the waiter asked if you want so-so-so-so-so. I was like, yes. Well, you tell her that I want so-so-so-so-so. And then she's like, yes. He said that so-so. And it took about three occasions for her to realize that we were actually making fun of her. It's like, come on, I'm not speaking Mandarin, I'm speaking English just like you. Talk to me.
Right.
You know.
Right.
The thing is that it also happens to me. I was actually conversing with a deaf person and I found myself referring all questions to the interpreter. When in truth and in fact, I was supposed to face the deaf person and talk to them.
Right.
Right.
So it's not to say I don't try to bash sighted people or persons without disabilities. I don't. I just make them understand that these things are incorrect. Laugh at yourself and try a different way.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing is to educate people, right? I mean, how often do people come across a blind person or a deaf person? And there is a process of getting used to that and knowing what are the right things to do.
Exactly. One of the issues that I think is sad is that there are a lot of things that persons without disabilities that don't know about persons with disabilities, but there's a lot of things that persons with disabilities don't know about people with other disabilities.
Absolutely.
So I started learning about people who have cerebral palsy and people who have autism. I recently met someone with autism, and it was really funny because I walked up to her and she said, "What's your disability?" I said, "Well, I'm blind." She said, "Well, you don't look blind." And I started to laugh. I said, "Well, blind doesn't have a look." And then I said, "What's your disability?" She said, "She has autism." I'm like, "Really? You don't sound autistic." And she laughed. And most of the problems with that is, I believe, television. Television gives you a very wrong perspective of how a disability is. Because my version of autism was from the movie Mercury Rising with the little boy. I thought all persons with autism act that way. But in truth, in fact, that is not so. Her thing was that she could not look directly into someone's face when she talks. That's it. And I said, "Well, you know what? You have no problem because I can't see whether you're looking at my face or not. So we're good to go."
Right.
So it's a lot of the perspectives of persons with disabilities is because of television.
Mm-hmm.
And think they get a very wrong idea,
right,
of how blindness is.
Do you read Braille?
I do. I love it immensely.
Wow, that's tough to learn later in life.
Yeah, it is. But it's something that was new and I enjoyed it. One of the reasons why I love Braille so much is because of the exclusivity of it. In that, what I mean is that if I walk into a place with 4,000 people, there is a very good chance that I alone know how to read that language. It's almost as if I know a language that nobody else knows, like Martian or something.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And I will literally take a book from the library, a novel, which is like the size of a phone book, or probably a little bigger, and sit on my curb and read where everyone can see. Because I am proud of it. I can read it and you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And people would come and say, "You sure you're reading?" "No, I'm not sure what I know what I'm reading. I'm actually just passing my hand and hoping for the best. Of course I know what I'm reading. What word is that? This feels like an F." It's like, no.
You know, it reminds me of when I was younger, we would take car trips with some of my cousins and my sister, and sometimes it would get dark and they couldn't look at their books or their coloring books or anything. And who would read them stories in the car? It would be me. It was a secret little tool that I had, just like you were speaking of.
Yes. I remember when I was learning grade one Braille, I had like the papers and learning the different letters, and they were like words. You literally had to start from scratch, like looking boy and bat and ball. And I didn't really care because I found it fascinating. And I literally walked into the room and my wife was saying, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm reading Braille." "But the light is off." And I had to laugh. I almost ripped the page. That's basically it.
J. Marlin, you make it sound like being blind can almost be fun.
You know, I find it really cool. I told somebody, I personally am going to make blindness cool. Watch me make blindness cool. People are going to wish they were blind too.
Sign up here.
Yeah. I mean, I started purchasing like custom canes and stuff. Yeah, because I mean, one of the issues with the perceptions of people who have visual impairment is that they look haggard and depressed. And anyhow, man, I love to dress. That's why I have digitized to match my clothing, my ties with my shirts with my trousers and everything.
Oh, just for our other listeners, that's the iPhone app that tells you the colors and you can label your items around the house that way? You like that?
Yes, it's I love that because in addition to recording your voice, you can literally see green and black tie. This tie matches with your green and so-and-so shirt. So I can literally go, okay, this is that shirt right there, and I match. So when I'm walking the street and I hear people say, what boy, your wife dressed you this morning? I just laugh because I knew I dressed myself. You understand? I hear people say that, you know, every blind person goes through that one side of brown shoe, one side of black. I said, not me. I'm not doing, no.
We did an entire episode of Eyes on Success a few years ago about digitize, and that was number 1344.
I use digitize, and I also use CrowdViz or Be My Eyes if I have to, you know, just to make sure that I don't go out looking things. So I have a blue cane and I have a gold cane.
Oh, wow.
Watch me. I want to get a red cane with a red t-shirt with the Daredevil symbol on it and red shades. I'm telling you, that would be hilarious.
Well, that's a nice idea. I'm always very careful about how I dress also because, you know, blind people have this stereotype that nothing matches. So, you know, when I was working and needed the right tie to go with the right pants and the right jacket, we had all of my clothes labeled in Braille and, you know, I was able to pick out my own clothes and,
of course,
you know, I wanted to look good. I didn't want to look like your stereotype blind person.
Yeah, because when people will literally tell you, you don't look blind, it's not necessarily about how you look per se. I think it's how you move, your comportment,
yes,
your posture. They expect you to be sad. They expect you to be depressed. They don't expect you to walk upright and actually be happy and laugh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to break stereotypes, which is why I pretty much rappelled off a 400-foot cliff and enjoyed it immensely. And I mean, you can actually go on YouTube or on the page and see it for yourself, Nancy, you know, and, you know, pretty much do everything. I want to do everything. I want to go hiking. I want to go horseback riding. As I said, all I want to hear is a blind person did it. And that's good enough for me.
The other thing my parents taught me at a very early age was to look at people because sighted people generally look at each other when they're talking. And often blind people are not trained to do that because they don't need to, you know, they can hear well.
That's true.
And I found that works a lot to my advantage and overcome some barriers.
I do that a lot. And I'm guessing because I hasn't been that long since I've been blind. And then my eyes appear average. It doesn't have any discoloration or anything like that. So I don't wear shades. According to my blog, it's gotten me into a lot of trouble without these shades. Because there was a time that I was in the gym and a lady asked me to spot her and I did spot her and I was standing there and I did not know where my head was facing.
Oh.
And she wasn't too happy at where my head was facing. Yeah, and she called me pervert and she called me this and she called me that. And I said, no, it's not so, I'm blind. And then she laughed and said I was lying. And so I started wearing shades, but I literally don't like to wear shades. I have very small ears and it hurts my ears.
I do wear glasses, even though I can't see anything, for protection, because I found that I don't blink when I walk into things. And I've scratched my cornea before, and that can be quite painful. So I do wear glasses for protection. And sometimes it gives people a very strange impression. They see someone who otherwise looks normal, and I'm standing there with glasses and a cane, and they don't know how to comprehend that.
It gets them confused.
Right.
Well, and it's even more confusing because his glasses look like he has a very mild prescription. In point of fact, there's no prescription at all because it wouldn't help him. And so people can kind of handle it when they see somebody with very thick glasses and a cane. They're like, oh, yeah, that person must be some variant of blind. But when they see Pete with his very thin glasses, they think, what's the cane for?
Yeah, well, that's the psychology of some sighted people who don't really know.
You've touched on some of the work that you've done getting positive changes made. Can you talk some more about that?
One thing I'm proud of is that we actually have one of our bills has a tactile option, which I'm very proud of. We actually went and we lobbied. So now our $50 bill has a circle in dots so we can feel it and know.
Well, you're ahead of us there. I can only tell our coins apart. In the U.S., all the bills are the same. So I fold them differently. So I know.
I also, and which I found so odd that nobody ever tried to do it before, I actually went into one of our universities into the intersection that deals with computer. And I asked them, I said, listen, can anyone here make apps? They were like, yes. I said, okay, who here can make an app that can read money for blind persons? And he's like, you need that? I was like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And after about a year, they made the app. They called me. They gave me the honor of naming it. And now in my country, everybody who is blind and has a smartphone can read money with a phone.
And I'm sure with your sense of humor, you gave it a great name. What is it called?
I call it Maverick.
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 Yes, because Maverick, well, according to the Maverick means independent, but some other meanings it means con man. Kind of
Perfect.
I just thought it was because, I mean, that's one of the biggest, I have been on the butt end of someone taking my money already. I remember I paid for something with $100 and it cost me $30 and I got back $7 change and it was really horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I got back to work, you know, guys were like, what? They did what? Hold on. See, guys put on uniform and put on battle. About 10 of them went back to the place. It was really... But the thing is that not everybody has a cadre of cops to go and thing on their behalf. Some people, you know...
I guess not.
There are benefits to having friends in the right places.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's not nice to have someone tell you that this is so-and-so. And that is why we have to, like... Before the advent of the money reader, we did the folding and stuff. I mean, I still do the folding because I still have to, you know, try to point the camera at the bill and so on and things like that. And, you know, but at least in the early mornings, I don't need someone to tell me what this is, what this is. I can literally use my money reader and sort out my bills myself.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you seem like a pretty independent minded guy. It must be nice to be able to get these tools developed so you can use them.
If it is, you can do it without asking for assistance, you can do it for yourself. That's good enough. And I mean, I do a lot of stuff on my own. I mean, I clean my house. I wash dishes. I'm the chief bottle washer at home. Nobody else washes dishes except for me.
Oh, so's Pete.
Yeah. I don't know. I just have a liking for dishes. Usually when I'm washing dishes, I'm listening to an audiobook or I'm listening to a descriptive movie, which is something that I learned about 2 years after being blind. It's like, why wasn't I told about this before? I was like, wow, descriptive audio rocks.
Yeah, it's a great way of multitasking when you're doing some other chore like washing the dishes.
Hello, my wife gets angry with me because she says it's so unfair that when she has stuff to do, she has to wait until a commercial comes on. I can literally listen to 6 movies in a row and not have to stop work. She says she finds it unfair.
Well, you know, she could listen to the movies the way you do, but like many sighted people, we rely on our vision. But I must say, I can see just fine, and I love my audio books.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, if I'm doing a home repair project or I'm working in the garden or I'm taking a long walk, I just plug in the earbuds and turn on the audio book, and I am very happy.
There was a time that I listened to all 6 Star Wars, one after the next.
Oh, boy.
And I got to clean the house, do the laundry, wash the dishes, everything in one to get all of that done. And I was able to listen to all 6 Star Wars. And I'm talking about that was from 6 in the morning to about 10 at night.
That house must have been really clean when you were done.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was. She thought I actually paid someone to do it.
That's great.
And cooked as well. I mean, she has her own issues where... She would tell them at work, listen, I need to get home because my husband is cooking dinner tonight. And they're like, wait, hold on. Isn't your husband blind? So it's like a big set of stuff.
You know, as you know, I'm blind myself. And I often tell people there are sometimes pros and cons to being visually impaired. People are sometimes a lot nicer when I'm in public places, in lines, trying to get on airplanes and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, because what was good is that there was the deposition because I gave evidence in the lower court. So the deposition is there. And then the judge asks, you know, do you want something to read to you? I said, no, that's not an issue. You know, obviously what I did, right? Took the deposition, took my key and every reader, and I heard the gasp out of the jury.
Oh, good for you.
So eventually it worked out well. But I just found it, you know, the whole experience very funny. And the thing is that I've started to use those experiences, whether good, bad, indifferent, or ugly, and started to translate it in blogs.
Marlon mentioned his KNFB Reader, which is now available as an iOS app. And we will be speaking with Scott White of the NFB about that in another episode of Eyes on Success in a couple of months.
13,000 persons with vision impairment in my country, and I think I haven't met 50 yet. And that's bad. Where are the others? They are home hiding because they believe their life has ended, which is how I felt the very first day when I was told that. And if I was informed then, I would have transitioned a lot faster than I did.
Well, and that's one of the messages that we try to convey on this program, that you're one example. You were a police officer. You lost your eyesight. Well, you needed to make some very minor changes, so you're no longer a sketch artist and now you use JAWS instead of reading with your eyes, but you're able to continue in your previous job. And that's such a strong message for people who are losing their vision or have lost their vision. It's like, well, if he could do that, maybe I can do something similar, or I can do even something completely different.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You want to be able to understand that, listen, losing your sight is not the end of the world. You have all the rest of your senses, which is why I was pushed to write a book, and I'm writing a book called 4 out of 5 Ain't Bad.
That's a great title.
Well, that sounds like it ought to be an interesting book when it's done. What motivated you to write the book?
People in your country have all of these things available, and there's a lot of things available here as well, but people here just don't get the idea that it can be done. And I'm thinking that's probably the reason why that I am blind now. I have to do something with it. I think I have to get these people out to not just live, but prosper. Because there's a thing that I say, when life gives you lemons, why settle for only lemonade? You can make lemon cake. You can make lemon wine and lemon crackers and so on.
Now for this week's final item, how you can read some of Marlon's writings and how to contact him. And this week we will, in addition to what we covered last week in this segment, have some information about his blog.
Can you tell our listeners a little about your blog?
Well, the name of the blog is The Blind Way Forward. And we came up with an idea where persons with vision impairment can have a kit with all the information that they need. So it's sort of a how to be blind kit. It's not something to feel sorry for yourself. We basically have it like, you're blind now. You're part of a club. Here is your tools to get through what you have to get through. And every possible excuse that you can think of, we're going to think about it and challenge it one time because I think it's needed.
So you talked about the blog that you have. Can you tell us where people can find that blog and what it contains?
Sure. You can find that at www.theblindwayforward.com. That's THEBLIND. WAYFORWARD.wordpress.com. Yes, it's a WordPress site.
Okay, and what else does it contain?
Well, it basically just contains blogs. I write about what I go through on a daily basis on my commute. Most of my craziness happens when, strangely enough, when I'm alone. For some strange reason, when I'm walking with someone, I don't get that issue. But when I'm by myself, anarchy.
And these blogs are quite humorous.
Well, I pretty much laugh at everything. So, you know, it makes no sense making something all somber and stuff. But I try to make it as, you know, motivation as possible because I realize I can motivate blind person, but I can also motivate sighted people as well.
And some of the subject matter is just, this is what happened today. And some of it is very serious. And some of it is serious issues that are raised from, this is what happened today. But all written with a very light touch. I really enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, because I could rant and rave and complain and cry and be angry at man and God and beast. But at the end of all of that, won't I still be blind? So I might as well be happy.
Yeah, there are two choices in life, right?
Yeah, it is. It makes no sense. I'm blind and have hypertension. I'd rather just be blind and good looking and be done with it.
So if people wanted to contact you, could they do that?
Yes, they could. I'm on Twitter, but there's some numbers next to my name and I can't recall it. Also, you can email me at nrkey98@gmail.com. That's nrkey98@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook the name Marlon Parejo. It's MarlonPareho. That's my personal page, and there's also a regular page that's The Blind Way Forward. On that page, I have copies of the blog as well, because I've linked the WordPress account to Facebook, but it also has videos. I have like video interviews and so on. And I even have a video with me rappelling down a 400-foot cliff. That was fun.
And now some final thoughts from Marlon.
Rather than look at the negatives, you would realize that the positives pretty much outweigh it. Yes, I do have regrets. I'm not crazy. I'm not in denial. There are times that I wish I could, because I have no idea what my four-year-old looks like, because I got blind just as she came out. I just have one photograph of her, and that's ingrained in my memory, but I pretty much don't know what she looks like. And I always have the issue where I will never see her in her wedding dress. I will never see her grow up and things like that. But, you know, when I look at all the different other things that has happened, I mean, I won 3 innovation competitions in a row. One was a device called Mobi Assist, that it's pretty much like immersive that we are doing here, that will help blind persons navigate by giving you tactile warnings of obstacles in front of you. The other one was the Money Reader app. And the other one was this one I'm working on, which is called the Blind Way Forward, that has the kit for persons, because you want to actually have them go out to these people and give it to them, or have it at the ophthalmologist stage where he gives them the diagnosis of doom, that he can actually hand it to them and say, "This, yeah, this is yours. This can help you," you know, rather than just shuffling them along the conveyor belt to whatever future that the doom does too. So, I mean, in my opinion, there's a lot more positives than negatives. And, you know, it's really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're doing good things.
So if you want to hear more of Marlon's stories, you can listen to last week's show, episode 1612, and then also all of that contact information, links to his blog, links to last week's show, and some more information can be found in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. Just look for the show notes for this episode.
That's it for show number 1613. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about some current research on data sonification. We'll be speaking with Tony Stockman, who's a senior lecturer at Queen Mary College of the University of London and is also the president of the International Community for Auditory Display. And we will be discussing some of his research projects on that topic. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.